This morning into Isaiah chapter number 66, if you will. We do want to say we had a great time with everybody yesterday, and it was just a blessing. And I want to thank all those that helped with the meals for the revival, and some had the evangelists for meals or took them out to meals. Some provided money that we was able to take them out and to just treat them in a way that they deserve to be treated. And God tells us to take care of his man, his evangelist, his preacher. And I'm thankful for a church that loves folks. And they commented a couple times, they don't get this everywhere they go. Amen. And I don't know what anybody else does, but amen. I want to make people missionaries and evangelists and people who are serving the Lord. I want to let them know that they're loved. Amen. That they're appreciated. And I thank everyone that took a part in making sure of that. I thank everyone that was here for the revival services and were so faithful in being here. We had a great revival meeting. If you did miss it, you missed a blessing. I do have CDs, and I'll stop by and pick some up. I know they'll be a blessing to you. And wow, how God just spoke to our hearts and moved in our lives. Amen. I tell you, one of the best revivals as far as building Christians and building strength in a church that we've had in a long time. And we've had some good revivals lately, but this was just an exceptionally good revival, and both of the preachers just preached tremendous messages, and it was just a blessing to be here, and we're thankful for everyone. Be in prayer for Bible school. Now, if you can do anything to help, I know Becky's got to get everything ready before next week, and she's under the gun. She's got a son graduating, got a graduation party on Saturday. So if you got some time this week and you can help, I imagine by next Sunday you won't even be able to see the pulpit area or the choir loft and some of this other stuff. But if you can help her, just give her a call and let her know. I know she needs a lot of help getting direct decorations and everything in place. And if you don't have a job, see Sister Nancy, we got one for you. I don't know what it is, but there's something for everybody to do. Amen. And there's something for you to do. And for those that haven't heard, I just want to remind you again, pray for the Faith Baptist Church in Smyrna. Pray for the Mitchell family there. Many of you know Brother George Mitchell, the youth pastor at Faith Baptist Church. He died suddenly Thursday morning, had a heart attack. He's 38 years old. And services for Brother George will be this Tuesday. If anyone's interested, I got the information. They're going to have viewing from 1 to 3, and then the funeral service will be at 3 o'clock at Funeral Home in Dover. But just remember that church. It was a shock to them. Remember the family. Amen. I know they're hurting, and they know where Brother George is going and know the promise they have of being able to be reunited with him. But pray for the Mitchell family and just pray for that church, if you would. Brother George was a good friend. I loved him. We just got to meet him, and our hearts knit together years ago. And then we kind of got disconnected, and a couple years ago he got a hold of us again and told us some things that were going on and invited us to their church. And we just have been blessed to be able to fellowship with them. So just keep them in prayer, if you would. If you found Isaiah chapter 66, we'd invite you to stand. And yes, we had a great time with our senior saints yesterday and the others that went. And if you didn't go and you'd like to get a copy of the DVD, I bought a copy of the DVD of the old-time radio gospel hour program that we went to see, and it was a good program. It was all volunteers, and they do it, but Brother Ernie said he's able to make some copies of it, and don't worry about it. I give them a very, very good donation on the way out because I knew I was going to do this, and we're not cheating them out of anything or doing anything to hurt them. So be much in prayer for them as they do what they do, and they touch a lot of lives. But if you found Isaiah 66, verse number 1, the Bible says, "Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you build unto me, and where is the place of my rest? For all those things hath mine hand made, and all those things hath been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor, and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. He that killeth an ox as if he slew a man. He that sacrificeth a lamb as if he cut off a dog's neck. He that offereth an oblation as if he offered swine's blood. He that burneth incense as if he blessed an idol. Yea, they have chosen their own way, and their soul delighteth in their abominations. I also will choose their delusions, and I will bring their fears upon them, because when I called, none did answer. When I spake, they did not hear. But they did evil before mine eyes, and chose that in which I delighted not. Brother Jim, be seated. God says that the heaven is his throne and the earth is his footstool. And certainly that speaks to the power of an almighty God. That speaks to his power above everything that we can think or imagine. It speaks to him being able to do whatever he pleases, whenever he pleases, and however he pleases. We see that in verse number 3. It says that, yea, they've chosen their own ways, and their soul delighteth in their abominations. We have a problem in our lives today. We have a problem in America. We have a problem in this world today that people have chosen the God that they want. They have chosen the God that they perceive, and they have chosen the God that makes them feel like they are all right, instead of the God that exists and sits on his throne and rests his feet upon this earth. You see, they have denied God, redesigned God, and they've confined God into everything that they want God to be, but they have forgot who God really is. They try to make God fit into their universe, into their world, into their frame of mind and their thoughts, but they have forgot that God does not exist in our universe, but our universe exists in God. If you can grasp that concept, you'll begin to grasp the enormity of God. We think that God dwells in the universe in which we are, but he doesn't. He spoke this universe. He spoke the world as we know it into existence. He's above and beyond everything that we comprehend him to be. We have many today that have been raised with Christ, but they've not been raised in Christ, according to A.W. Tozer. If you see my Facebook page, you'll notice I posted that this week because it is so true. We got a world where everybody believes in God, but have not believed God. God says sin will be punished. The sinner will be cast into eternal damnation. But I sent my son that they don't have to do that. But nobody wants to believe God. They want to believe that everybody's going to go to heaven. When God himself said, the soul that sinneth, it shall surely die. They believe in God, but they don't want to believe God. They believe there is a God, but they want to live as if there is no God. Living unto themselves, fulfilling their own desires, and living according to their own lust. Folks, we got to get back to the place today to where we put God back in the place where he deserves to be in our hearts and our lives. And we put him back to the place to where he belongs, high and lifted up and exalted in every way. That we realize that God is God, and God is almighty, God is all powerful, and God does not need us, but we need him in everything. God existed before us, but man cannot exist without God. Young people, I want you to listen to me very close today. How many do we have here under 20 years old? Raise your hands. You're under 20 years old, raise your hands. I want you to listen to me very, very closely this morning. How many are going to listen to me very closely? Raise your hands. Promise me. Promise me. You're going to listen very intently, very closely. I want you to grasp God. He's not just a word. He's not just a thought. He's not just someone's imagination. But God is above everything that you can even conceive that God really is. The Bible teaches us and tells us of God being omnipotent. That word omnipotent means that he's all powerful. That word omnipotent means that he can do anything. That word omnipotent means that apart from anything that man can imagine, God is still able. Amen? In Job chapter number 38, God begins to speak to Job after a time of silence and after a time when Job desired to hear from God. And Job questioned where God was, and Job questioned why God had did what he had done. He didn't know. He didn't understand. And folks, we won't always understand God. We won't always comprehend everything that God is doing, but God is still God. Amen. And as he begins to speak to Job in chapter 38 of the book of Job, in verse number 4, he speaks of his omnipotence and of his power. He says, "Where was thou when I laid the foundations of the earth?" Do you grasp what God has done? Do you grasp what God is saying? God is asking Job, he asks us today, where were you? You want to start regulating where God is going to work in your life, and you want to start delegating how much God you're going to allow in your life, and you want to start thinking about what place God is going to have in your life. And he asks you the question, who are you to put limits on me? Where was you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Amen. He goes on to say in verse number 8, or who shut up the sea with the doors? Who told the sea how far it could come? Where was you? What ability do you have? Man has tried in all his feeble ways to put limits on nature and to put limits on what God has created. And God himself put the limits on the seas. God himself has designed all things to function as he chose that they could do. And man has tried to control what God has created and is unable to do it completely. Verse 12, it says, "Hast thou commanded the morning since thy days, and cause the day spring to know its place?" Amen. Have you decided when the sun will come up and when the sun will go down? Have you decided how the sun will shine in the sky? Job, you're questioning. Job, you're asking. Job, you're wanting to know. And Job, you're uncertain. But let me ask you these things. Can you do this? Say, "Let there be light." And there's light. Verse 17, he said, "Have the gates of death been opened unto thee? Or hast thou seen the doors of the shadow of death?" Are you in control of life? Or are you the one who says that I'm going to live today and I'm going to live tomorrow and I'm going to live the next day? Or do you live from moment to moment in your life wondering and knowing and speculating maybe some way and somehow about how life is going to go? Let me tell you what, Brother George Mitchell was 38 years old. I don't think he expected to die Thursday morning of a massive heart attack. Praise God. Brother Calvin's sister was, or his niece, I was 16 years old when she wrecked her car. I don't think she was expecting on wrecking her car and dying that morning. Our baby, our granddaughter, I was 33 days old when she went into surgery. I don't think anybody was expecting her to die that day. But praise God, we act and we live and we try to function in this world like we're in control of everything, and we lose sight that it's God that gives us our breath. It's God that gives us our strength. It's God that gives us our power. It's God that determines when we live. It's God that determines when we die. It's God that sets everything in order and in place in our lives. And we need to start acting like it. We need to start living like it. Amen. And we need to start giving Him the honor that He deserves in our lives, because He's God and no other reason. When God's good to us, we're all tickled to death about God. When God's blessing us and God's pouring out His goodness to us, we're just all thrilled to death. But let something happen in our lives and we get all soured up and we get all discouraged. We get all disgruntled and we start raising accusations towards God and blaming Him for the things that happen in our lives. And praise God, we lose sight of the fact that He is still God and He deserves our honor. Now you can sit back all smug-faced. You can sit back all puffed up. You can sit back all acting like it's all about me all you want to. One day you're going to face this God.
Amen.
And you're going to know that assured as you're standing before Him, you won't stand before Him, you'll be kneeling before Him.
Amen.
Amen. He has all power over your life. He lets you make what decisions you want to. He gives us the ability. He gives us a free will. He gives us the mind to do what we want to, how we want to, when we want to. But He also reminds us that He is God. He is our Creator. He's the one that spoke the world into existence. He's the one that formed man from the dust of the earth and breathed into him the breath of life, and he became a living soul. He is the one that is in control of all things. And though He may give you a free will, and though He may let you make the decisions and the choices that you want to, one day you'll bow before Him and you'll beg Him for mercy. You'll beg Him for mercy because you rejected and didn't believe His word. You rejected and didn't believe that He was the God that He is. And you made Him the God that you wanted Him to be. But let me tell you what else this omnipotent God can do. He can take a heart that's been broken by sin. He can take a heart and a life that's been destroyed by sin. He can take one that has come from the lowest depths and the lowest places of despair. And He can restore them. He can heal them. He can make them as if they had never sinned. He said He would remove their sins as far as the east is from the west. The Bible says He cast our sins into the sea of forgetfulness to be remembered no more. He can make a change in you. He can make a new you, amen, that you never dreamed could exist. He says the old man has died out to sin and a new man walks. Behold, old things are passed away. All things have become new. Any man that is in Christ is a new creature, amen. We can have that hope. We can have that assurance because the God that's able to do anything can do that in your life.
Amen.
He can do that in your life. And He can do that in your life because He's God and He's able to. And because He's God, He wants to. The Bible not only tells us about the omnipotence of God And God not only wants us to know Him as an all-powerful God, but He wants us to know Him as an all-knowing God, the omniscience of God. The fact that He knows everything. In Psalm 139, the psalmist says in verses 1 to 6, O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down-sitting and mine uprising. Thou understands my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with my ways. For there's not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. Thou beset me behind and before, and laid Thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Friend, whether you know it or not, God knows all about you. He knows your life completely. The psalmist says, you know my down sitting and my uprising. You know my thoughts. You know the very words. You know what? He knows what you're going to say before you even say it. He knows what's going on in your heart right this minute. And you might think you got everybody fooled. You might think you got everything hid. But there's nothing that's hid from God. There's not a thought that's hid from God. There's not a deed that you've done that's hid from God. He knows it all. And praise God, one day He's going to reveal it all. Amen. Amen. But He knew from the foundations of the world. He knew before creation that man would fall. That's how well God knows us. Before He spoke the world into existence, the precious Lamb of God was already chosen. Before the foundations of the world were laid, God already prepared a sacrifice for your sin. Before you were even born, He already knew you. Before you were in your mother's womb, He already had sent His Son to die for you. Friend, God knows you. He knows your sin. He knows your rebellion. He knows everything that's unattractive about you spiritually. He knows when you mock Him. He knows when you make a light of Him. He knows when you relegate Him to second place and you make Him less important than everything else in your life. And you smile and say, oh, I'm such a great Christian. God knows. But He also knows when you serve Him. He also knows when no one else is around and you worship Him. He knows the thoughts in your heart and in your mind when no one else can know what's going on, and you just in your mind and in your inner self just start praising Him. He already knows all about it. You see, He knows everything. Though some things might be lost on those around you, there's nothing that's ever lost on God. He knows everything. He's all-knowing, omniscient. And He knows your hearts this morning. He knows those that have trusted Christ as their Savior. He knows those that are truly born again, blood-bought, blood-washed, and are His. He knows you this morning. He knows those this morning that are backslidden. He knows those that have made Him second place, the Christian that doesn't have Him in the place where He belongs in their life. He knows you this morning. You might have the preacher fooled. You might have the preacher's wife fooled. You might have the deacons and the deacons' wives fooled. You might have everybody else in the church fooled, but you don't have God fooled. He already knows. But He already knows you that are here this morning. And He knew you would be here this morning who've not trusted Him as your Lord and Savior, who have not asked Him into your heart, into your life. He already knows. And you know what? He knew you'd be here to hear this message this morning. He knew that one day you would come to a realization that He knows your heart. And He has already prepared a lamb for you. Abraham called Him Jehovah Jireh. You see, as Abraham was going up the mountain this way with his son Isaac to offer him as a burnt sacrifice before God, the ram had already started up the mountain the other way. God had already provided. God had already supplied. God had already met the need. He's already met your need this morning in Christ Jesus, and all you have to do is trust Him. But He knows your heart. He knows your thoughts right now. He knows if you'll reject Him. He knows if you're going to turn Him away. But He still loves you because He's God. He still cares because He's God. He still cares because He can do what anyone else can't do. When everybody else might turn their back, when everyone else might not love you, God still loves you. In verses 8 to 15 of Psalm 139, we find out something else about God. The omnipresence, the ever-present, always present God. I'm glad. In Hebrews, it reminds us that He has said He would never leave us nor forsake us. He's always there. I'm glad that this morning, my Bible says where two or three are gathered in His name, He would be in the midst and He's here. I'm glad this morning that there's not a place I can go. There's not a situation I can find myself to where I can't reach out and cling to His hand. I can't reach out and call upon Him and know that He'll hear my prayer and that He'll grasp my hand. That's what enables us to send our loved ones away. My lands, look at Pam and Adam. Zach and Mary are both halfway around the world on the other side of the world. But they can have peace in knowing that God is right there with them, just like He's right here with us. Isn't that good to know? Hallelujah. Amen. It's good to know that He's here. It's good to know that He's always present. It's good to know that He's ready to help in the midst of our storms, in the midst of our trials. And when we call Jesus, He's there. When we call help, He's there. When we need Him, He's right there. He doesn't just show up. He's been there all along. But He shows out so that we can see Him and know Him. Amen. The psalmist says, if I ascend up into heaven, Thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, Thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost part of the sea, even there shall Thy hand lead me, and Thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be a light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. And the darkness and the light are both alike to thee. For thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee. When I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth, the psalmist said, no matter where I find myself, praise God, He's there. Let me tell you something. When I found out that I was in a horrible pit, I was in the miry clay, I was as low as a man could be in sin, praise God, I found out that He was right there. He was as close as the mention of His name. When I called on Jesus, He saved my soul in the midst of some of the darkest hours that I've gone through in my life. I have called upon Him in the midst of my despair, in the midst of my hurt, in the midst of my fears, and I have found that He is right there. Praise God. When I get to worship Him in the spirit of holiness, in the midst of God's people, and praise God, I find out that He's right there, for He inhabits the praises of God's people. I'm thankful this morning that no matter where I am, and no matter what I need, and no matter what's going on, He's right there with me. Amen. And I can reach out and I can find hope. I can reach out and I can find peace. But sadly today, when they say, where is God? Where is God? Where's God? And Brother Jeff, I think it was, preached the other night, had a 2 Peter chapter 3. And they say, where is God? Where is the promise of His coming? And I like his answer. Right there. Amen. It's right there. It's all through the pages of God's Word. It's right there. Let me tell you where else it is. It's all over this church house. It's all over people's lives that have trusted Jesus as their Savior. It's right there. Amen. It's all over history as it points to the fulfillment of the promises of God's Word, the fulfillment of the prophecies that have been given. It's right there. It's right there. He's right there in the midst of it all. And praise God, we can rejoice in knowing, amen, that He's still in control. Because He's right here. Amen. He's right here. Amen. His majesty is beyond comparison. Isaiah seen Him high and lifted up. His train filled the temple. The seraphims, I just sang praises unto Him. John saw Him in Revelation on a great white throne, and Him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was no place for them. Praise God. His majesty and His majestic appearance is incomparable to anything that we can think of and we can try to define Him as. Moses said, show me your glory. God said, no man can see my face and live. He said, but there's a place here by me. Praise God, on the rock, hallelujah, amen. And He said, I'll put you in the cleft of the rock. And He said, I'm going to pass by you. And when I pass by, He said, I'll remove my hands, and you can see my hinder parts. Amen. He's so good. He's so majestic. He's so mighty. That just a glimpse of Him is more than man could stand. And Moses got the glimpse of His backside, and it was more, I believe, than he would have been able to stand in his physical body if God hadn't prepared him for it, and God hadn't met the need that he needed to meet Him and to see Him. That's why it's so important to stay close to Jesus, so that when He shows up, amen, and when He comes our way, and we get to see and we get to experience and we get to feel His majesty around us, amen, it just don't overwhelm us. Hallelujah. But His mercy in Psalm 136 endureth forever. 24 verses of Psalm 136, and every verse ends with this same promise: for His mercy endureth forever. A God that spoke a world into existence, spoke a universe into existence, placed each star in place and named each star and knows each star individually, is a God full of mercy that endures forever. A God that scooped up the dust of the earth and formed man in His own likeness and in His own image and breathed into man the breath of life, is a God that's full of mercy that endures forever. The God who condemns sin and the sinner to a devil's hell is the same God that in His mercy sent His Son to die on an old rugged cross. Brother Jim, Sister Mary, get a song. I'm going to try to end.